and walk in step with that. And the illustration, or the one way that we can tell if we're out of step, is if these works of the flesh are manifest in our life. If there's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, anger, wrath, malice, and all these things are manifest in your life, then you know that you're out of step with the Spirit of God. But it's not enough just to not have the works of the flesh. He goes on to tell you how to walk in the Spirit, how to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm going to start backwards at the verse 26, and I'm going to work my way up to the fruit of the Spirit. And so why do we want to learn to walk in the Spirit? What is the purpose of that? Okay, so what is the why of walking in the Spirit? Why do you want to tonight, hopefully everyone here, you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You want to learn how to have these fruits in your life. So what is the purpose of that? And he says in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory. You know, some people, the only reason, or one of the reasons that they want to go to church and they want to serve in a certain capacity, they want to maybe teach a class, they want to be a pastor, they want to, why do they do that? Because they like how it makes them feel. They like the way that people look at them. The Pharisees were that way. They loved to walk around in the long robes and the greetings in the marketplaces. They were desirous of vain glory. Vain means it's empty, it's worthless. And if what you do tonight is to be done before men so they will look at you in a certain way, that is all the good you'll ever get out of that. They look at you and they say, oh, I like him, he's a good guy. And that's all the glory you'll ever get out of that. And we're not supposed to be desirous of that vain glory. And we're not supposed to, when you start learning the Bible and you start learning what the works of the flesh are and you start learning what the fruit of the Spirit is, you know what comes along with that? You can also tell when other people are out of step with the Lord. You can also tell when certain people have the works of the flesh in their life. And Paul's saying, I'm not giving you this information so you can pit one against another. That's what the Judaizers were doing. They're saying, by your strict adherence to the law, then you can rise to this level. And they were using them to be able to lift themselves up. And Paul said, that's not the purpose of this. That's not why I'm trying to teach you this. So don't be desiring that vain glory, but you want to please the Lord. Don't be happy at their failures or uneasy at their successors. If you start walking with God, the point is for the glory of God. That's the purpose. It's not anything else. Now, we need to get that. We need to get that this is not about us. This is not for our promotion. We have to get that. Because if you don't get that, and you're desirous of vainglory, and you don't get that this is not about you, this is about the Lord, then none of the other fruits are going to manifest themselves in your life. So how do we get the power? Number two, how do we get the power to walk in the Spirit? Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now I want you to think about that. How many of you would profess tonight that you're born again, you're saved, you received Christ as your Savior? Okay? If we live in the Spirit, if you're saved tonight, if you're born again, you're alive in the Spirit. You're not alive of your own power. You didn't make yourself alive. The Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord is the one that gave you life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You had no power to make yourself alive. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says in this, Ephesians 2, 1, one book to the right. And you hath he quickened. Hopefully you don't remember that show, but the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. Okay? You hath he quickened, hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, before you were saved, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, that's the works of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And that's how we live in the Spirit. We came to the Lord and he made us alive. Then he says that, now back to Galatians, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, how do you live in the Spirit? I just do, right? You're saved. You're just alive in God. You just live in the Spirit. There's not a lot to that. But he uses that. He said, if we live in the Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit too. So that's something else. So how did he... Remember when he raised that girl from the dead, he said, Talitha Kumi, that's, I say unto thee, arise. And then she got up and she sat up. You know, the Lord said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. The Lord said to Lazarus, come forth. And then he had a purpose for him to do. It wasn't just to be given life. But how do you walk in the Spirit? So this is a company called ReWalk, okay? So if you want to walk in the Spirit, what you need to do is you need to go to their website and you need to order this machine. No, that's not how you do it. But this is ReWalk, and the company, what they do is they take this machine, it's called an exoskeleton, and that man is paralyzed from the waist down. He has no movement in his legs. He has to pick up his legs. And so they strap him into this, and it has this remote, and he's able to stand up. How is he able to stand up? He has no power to stand up. Well, he's standing up because he's walking in this exoskeleton. I saw the different people that get it, and they would learn how to walk, and they wheelchair bound, and now they're able to walk and even go upstairs, and the emotions that they experience about being able to do something that they don't have the power to do. And that's what walking in the Spirit is. That is, we live in the Spirit. We didn't have power to come alive. The Lord made us alive. And we don't have the power to overcome the flesh. And we don't have the power to bear the fruits of the Spirit unless we walk in the Spirit and we walk in His power. This is what that suit looks like. The guy got out of it and he folded it up, put it in the trunk, and got in his wheelchair and went home and got it back out. And pretty amazing, I think. This is more of a familiar one to you, okay? And as my wife said, cheesy, right? Okay? So this is Iron Man, and you know what he was able to do? He was able to put on this suit, and he was able to have strength that he didn't have without it. He was able to do things that he couldn't do without it, correct? Now, can you overcome the works of the flesh? The fornication, the adultery, the lasciviousness, the uncleanness? Do you have the power to do that? Not unless you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not unless you walk in the Spirit. You know what they said when they walked in that? They said it felt like our bodies were floating. And it was just so easy. And it was just so effortless. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you know what it is? It's not difficult. It's not difficult to not have the works of the flesh. And it's also not difficult to have the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully you got that. It makes you stronger. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. There, I remember as a young Christian, man, I would try so hard. I would try so hard to overcome the works of the flesh. I couldn't do it. And then I would try so hard to bear the fruits of the Spirit. And I couldn't do it. I did not. You know, there's this human. Once you get saved, you have to develop godly thinking. Because I got saved and I thought, I can quit this. I'm strong. No, I'm weak. And that's how I'm strong. It's through the Lord. You know who you are. You're better than... No, I'm not better than that. I'm flesh. I'm just as bad as anybody else. I'm not better. It's through the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4:21. If so be you have heard of Him, you have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Well, what do? You take off the old man, and you put on your the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's Romans 13 and verse 14. Or put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Say, I can't overcome it. Well, have you tried to overcome it when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you let Him overcome it? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. And you're never, ever going to get it until you experience it. You just can't get it. It's so simple, but we just try to make it so complex. But it's so simple. Just let Jesus be Jesus inside of you. Just yield to Him. You move forward by submitting to Him and just putting Him on and letting Him do it. You do it. Romans, He gives you the power. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. And then keep your hand in Galatians. We're going right back there. Okay, Galatians chapter 8 and verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, you will what? Die. But look at this, verse 13. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you do it? You do it through the Spirit. You put on the Iron Man suit, the exoskeleton. Right? It's Jesus. Okay, now, two more things we're going to look at. Now, that's how you get the power. Now, what is the process? How does this take place? Look at verse 24. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. And they that are Christ, if you're saved, say amen. If you're lost, say, oh me. No? Okay. They that are Christ, that's you, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Are you saved? Amen? Have you crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust? Well, I don't know. No. It says you have. It says you have crucified the flesh with the... they have done it with the affections and lusts. If you're saved and you have crucified the flesh. So how does that work? Well, first crucify is when you nail something to a cross, correct? They've crucified the flesh. They've nailed it to the cross. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. How does this work? Romans 6 and verse 1. Romans 6, 1. And the Bible says in Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we keep on sinning because God is good and He'll keep forgiving us and we don't want to waste His grace? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He said, you're dead to sin. How are you going to live any longer therein? You're dead to it. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now that is spiritual baptism. That's not water baptism. That's when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you, and He put you into Christ, and He put you into His death. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we also should walk in newness of life. So what is the process? He put the flesh to death. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Verse 11. It doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, it doesn't. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm dead. When I got saved, the power of the flesh, it's gone. It's crucified. It's dead. It doesn't seem that way, does it? Does it? I mean, when you pass the double cheeseburger, it doesn't seem that way. But look at what he says in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon. What does that mean? I reckon so. I reckon. That means I believe it to be so. Unless you believe that is true, and the body and the flesh is dead and it doesn't have the power, and you through the Spirit you have on Jesus, that way you mortify the deeds of the body and you can bear the fruits of the Spirit. You're not going to be a soldier until you believe you are one. You're not going to achieve victory until you believe that it is possible. You know what a lot of Christians don't believe? They do not believe that through the Lord Jesus Christ they can have the victory over their specific besetting sin. And if you don't reckon it to be so, then you're not going to live in a manner where it is true. Okay, so how does that process? He puts it to death so it no longer has power. A dead man no longer has to do time in jail. If he dies, they let him out of jail, don't they? No more sentence, no more. The law has no power over you. You're dead. He's no longer captivated by that jail. So look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And here's the illustration Paul uses, and then we'll make it worse. Even though it's very offensive, we're going to make it even more offensive, okay? Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So as long as you are alive, you are subject to the speed limit, or as long as you're driving. And you're not a police officer. You know what I'm saying. We're not going to go down that. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Okay, so if you're married, you're bound by the law of the Lord to him as long as he's alive. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So if he's dead, and the Bible talks about divorce and stuff, we're not talking about that now. But if he's dead, then she's loose from the law of her husband. Verse 3, so if then while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. So she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now here's how he applies it. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth, what is the word? Isn't that what we're talking about? How to bear fruit? How do you do it? The flesh is dead. You're not married to it anymore. Now you can be married to Christ and you can bring forth fruit unto God. How many people that they're... This is offensive in our culture, but it wasn't when Paul wrote it. He said that woman, her husband died. And she said, I can't get married again. I can't. This is my husband. I have to stay married to him. And he said, he's dead. You're free to be married to another. And your flesh is dead. You're free to go on and to live for God. It's dead. It's crucified. It's no longer has power over you. The illustration that my preacher always said that helped me so much with this was this. Is that when the Civil War happened and the slaves were set free, they were given freedom. They were free. And yet a lot of them chose to stay and live on the plantation and serve their old slave master because he said, you have to stay here and do this. I don't care if you're free, you need to stay here and do this. And so they never took advantage of their freedom. They were set free, but they lived in such a way that they were not set free. In Indonesia, there's a group of people called the Toraja, I don't know how you pronounce them, but they live in this area of northeast Bali in Indonesia, in this mountainous area there. And what happens is when somebody dies, they believe that they have to raise $40,000 or $50,000, and they have to go and buy a sacrificial water buffalo, and during the funeral they cut the buffalo's throat, and as that buffalo takes its last gasp of air, it blows that soul to its destination, so it's not just wandering around. So until they have the money to do that, you know what they do? They continue to live with their dead relative. If you're married, you know what you do? You sleep in the same bed right there. And when you take family photos, this is a real photo. You know what you do? You take, there's my aunt, and that was, this is 2017, and she died in 2007. This one died in 2009. The baby died in 2007 or 9 there. And this is in 2017, and look, they don't have to do that. They don't have to keep bringing them cigarettes and lighting them and sticking it in their mouth. They don't have to keep changing them and dressing them and doing all those things. They don't have to do that. Why? Because they're dead. You don't have to keep serving the flesh. You don't have to. You choose to. The Bible says that it's dead. You choose to feed it. You choose to do those things. You choose to give into it. Why? Because your mindset is wrong. God said it's dead. Okay? Now, let's talk about the good part. Wasn't that fun? I'm like, okay, now this sets it right up for fruit. Okay? Everyone's like, okay? So the process, he freed you so you can bear fruit. Now what is the product? What does this all produce? When you have the exoskeleton on, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ on, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, then what should be forth in your life? Look at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is. Now, it's not your fruit. Is that correct? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, the Lord produces the fruit. You don't have to conjure it up. It's natural. It's easy. It's simple. You just let the Lord produce it. Get out of His way. Let Him produce this in your life. It is His fruit. And it's not a bunch of fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit that's manifested in these nine different ways. The fruit of the Spirit is, it's something that's present right now, not something that comes and goes. The fruit of the Spirit is, and then He tells you what it is. See, it's not enough just to not walk in the flesh, then you're just dead. You know, people pride themselves on what they don't do, don't they? What do you do? Well, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't wear pants, and I don't have long hair, and I don't have a beard. Oh, good. How are you different than anyone in the graveyard? You know, how many of you would want to go and buy a car, and you go there to buy the car, and the guy's like, man, this is a great car. It doesn't smoke, and, you know, it doesn't leak oil. It doesn't pollute the air. It doesn't overheat, and, you know, and you're like, great, let's take it for a spin. He's like, oh, it doesn't have a motor. And, you know, that's how a lot of Christians are. They're sterilized like an emergency room, an operating room or an emergency room is not very sterile, but okay, it's sterile like an operating room, but they don't have any fruit to the Lord. They just have a bunch of things they don't do. We need to have some fruit that we do and things that we do. And He says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. How's it going, Christian? Do you regard other people with favor and goodwill? That's as opposed to hatred as the works of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to love the brethren. I mean, look at me. Do you love me? If you're walking in the Spirit, you are going to love the brethren. The Bible, it's very, very plain. You know, if we walk in the light, you know what happens? We get a suntan. But we also have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When Jesus is praying in John 17, it is a big deal to God that we love one another. If you have the Spirit of God in you and you are walking in the Spirit, you're going to love the brethren, you're going to love the lost. Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and He loved him. You're going to love them, you're going to try to do what you can to help them. What else is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. How's that going? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life. Joy. Do you have it? What is joy? Joy, according to the dictionary, is a passion or emotion excited by the expectation of good. Like, it doesn't matter what happened. I have Jesus. He's coming back for me. I don't fear them that kill the body. No matter what happens, I have the Lord. It's going to be okay. I have joy. No matter what happens, I'm going to be with Him. You know, the Bible says about Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. He had an expectation of that which was good. He would go and be with the Father. He would purchase your soul. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You know what joy does? It helps you to endure the things that are going on. Joy is how John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress from a jail cell. Joy is how Paul and Silas got beaten with whips and thrown in a dirty Roman jail cell and got irons around their feet, and they started singing praises to God. Do you have it? Are you letting the Spirit manifest that in your life? Peace. God's fighting my battles. God's keeping me in the storm, above the storm, and through the storm. I was in the plane a week ago or so, and I'm coming, and we're descending down into the Boise airport, and there's clouds everywhere. You can't see anything, and the plane does this. you know, and it's like it hits a bump. And people were like, ooh. And I looked out and I couldn't see anything. And that verse came to me. His way is in the whirlwind and his way is in the storm. God's way is in the storm. How's it going? Do you have peace? There's no war, agitation, fighting, friction, anxiety. There's peace. What is peace? Jesus is sleeping in the boat. He's asleep on a pillow. That's peace. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You think about the storms that you have, the problems you're going through. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. How's your peace? Long-suffering. We usually say the word patience. It's when you suffer long with something and the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering toward usward. You think about how many times you've messed up. You know, the Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and messeth up. I'm like, 7 times? I wasn't even getting started. I have fallen so many times. And God, I've messed up stuff so bad. Man, I've messed up pastoring the church. I've treated people wrong. I've made bad decisions. And for some reason, the Lord said, can try again. You know, think about all the times you've messed up. Man, God's been so patient, long-suffering. Can we show that to other people? Because that's a fruit of the Spirit, to show that to other people and be patient with them and long-suffering and gentleness. I don't even like that word. Do you? Gentleness. He's a gentle man. I should be gentle? That doesn't even sound right. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is gentle. Paul said that he was gentle among them as a nurse that cherisheth her children. You know what? People are fragile. We're fragile, aren't we? And we can get upset. We can get offended. We can get our emotions hurt. And I think we're worse than babies. Babies are a lot easier to not offend. But he be gentle among people. I think David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great," and I love that verse. Goodness, that's moral excellence. How's it going? At the cash register, they charge you the wrong thing, like way wrong. I mean, not just a little. They save you a lot of money. Because I know what you're going to do when they charge you too much. You're going to point that out. Goodness, moral excellence. Can you be trusted? Can your eyes be trusted when your wife is not around, when your husband's not around? I found out the other day that women, they have problems with their eyes too. That was news to me. This girl knows what I'm talking about. All right. That goodness, the Lord produces that in your life. When I first started in the Christian life, I was so crooked, you could drill post holes with me. I mean, you could just put me in just crooked. And you know what the Lord does? You go to a soda machine and you get a water cup and your kid's like, "Hey, I want soda." I'm like, "No, we didn't pay for the soda." "No." And then he's like, "Well, that guy's getting soda in a water cup." I'm like, "It doesn't matter. How's that going? How are you in that area? Faith? Do you believe God for your needs, your duties, your witness? Meekness? You know what that is? That's humility and resignation to the divine will of God without grumbling and complaining. This is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. And we take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. The meek will he guide. If you're meek, the Lord will guide you. Temperance? Oh, man. Do we dare? Temperance. That is, you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's temperance. That is moderation in regard to your fleshly appetites. That's when to push back from the table. Temperance is no more Facebook. It's been too long. I'm not going to watch any more television. It's the opposite of gluttony. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, it says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. If they're going to try for a gold medal, they're temperate in everything that they do. And he said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know what Paul's saying? If they're temperate, how much more should we be temperate? And he said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Don't let the flesh reign. And then look at the end of that verse. Before everyone gets uncomfortable, let's go on. When I was in Bible school, we had a song leader, and he was portly, as they say. And I was not gentle. I was just a dumb kid, right? And so I would come in, and they would say, "Okay, anybody have a verse and a song? Verse and a song. Verse and a song." He's like, Cummings. And I said, yes, the Bible says, Proverbs 23, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. And I would like to sing Come and Dine, number something. Man. And you know what? But that guy, he was a wonderful friend of mine. He still is. He's a blessing. All right. That's enough of that. Okay. He says this, against such there is no law. You know what's interesting about all those things is you can do them in Afghanistan. There's no law against these things. You know, if you look at the works of the flesh, there's all kinds of laws against those. But these works of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law against it. And you know what's interesting? It says the fruit of the Spirit is... And if a Baptist wrote it, you know what he would say? The fruit of the Spirit is soul winning, going to church, tithing, wearing dresses, and cutting your hair. It doesn't say that, does it? Oh, and not drinking. And not smoking. But that's not what it says. I haven't always said this, but Christianity is who you are. It's not what you do. It's who you are. And if you're walking in the Spirit, these things will be in your life and they'll be manifest. Who are you tonight? All right? All right, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. All right, Lord, I come before you tonight and I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I want to thank you for everybody that is here tonight. Thank you for what this teaches us, Lord. I pray you would help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Father. And I pray that these things would be manifest in our life. We love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.